Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Night Call, a production of iHeartRadio.
It's 12 bells in Rockingham, and you're listening to Night Call.
Hello and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm Tess Lynch, and with me are
Molly Lambert and
Emily Yoshida. Oh, I timed my LaCroix burp just perfectly right before that came out. Just so you know, this podcast is fueled by LaCroix.
We've gotten some complaints about food sounds.
Yeah, it won't happen again.
We're so sorry.
You know, we're just human.
Podcasting is we don't do it for our health.
No. Well, speaking of which, we have a question we need to know the answer to.
Yes. From a fellow broadcaster.
From fellow broadcasters. Where is Steve Jones?
Where is Steve Jones? Well, first of all, Steve Jones is alive and tweeting. So we know this, but Jonesy's Jukebox, which is his show on KLOS, it used to be weekdays, every day, weekdays. Then it turned into a 2-hour thing on Fridays from 12 to 2. But since August, he has been AWOL.
He's been off the air.
Where's Jonesy?
No comunicado.
Is his show syndicated or is it just a Los Angeles thing?
That's a good question. I think it's syndicated on Sirius or something.
Okay. If anybody is listening to this and works at Sirius or whoever puts out Jonesy's
KLOS
show,
also.
KLOS. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
If you know what's going on with Jonesy, leave us a tip on the Night Call hotline.
Do you guys have any theories?
Well, wait. 24046Night or yes. nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. Before we get to theories, I have to say that he basically, like, the evidence that we have of what he has told us is that he was sick. And then on September 5th, he tweets, "You're going to kill me. I know I ain't happy ever. Trust me, maybe next week. I'm sorry. BTW, it's a jungle out there," with a picture. And then on September 12th, "Okay, 12 bells, Friday." But he didn't appear.
What was the picture in the...
I forget. I listened to the show, I think, one of the last times he was on, and he said that he had, instead of going home the night before, he had ridden his motorcycle up to his friend's house in Malibu and just hung out with his friend all night and then, like, crashed over there and then came back. And he was just sort of complaining and being like, I'm just tired of doing the show. Like, I need a break.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like he just needed a vacation.
Yeah.
Because he'd been doing a daily show.
Forever. Because it was on 103.1 before it was on KLOS.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he wasn't a... I think he hadn't been a DJ until he started doing the 103.1 show.
Yeah.
So, you know, he came to be good at it and love it. But I think he also is, like, a musician before he's a DJ. And... he just wanted some time off to chill.
I don't blame him. I just miss him.
Yeah, we just miss him. We just want to know he's
so
okay.
Good. We want to know he's okay.
But also, yeah, we miss him because it was the best thing on the radio because it was like a freeform radio show.
Yeah.
Which is what we are always trying to bring Night Call.
It's always a little disconcerting if somebody disappears from like a regular slot and there's no... like clear word about what it's not like somebody said like, oh, his show's like this will be the finale show or whatever.
Well, I mean, who knows, maybe he broke a contract or something. Yeah.
Something like that definitely happened because when you're listening, I still listen every Friday and there's a little like ticker on the screen that says Jonesy's Jukebox. So they're still clearly like reserving him the spot if he does.
Or they just haven't updated their metadata.
But it always seems like during his slot, it seems like a we're flying by the seat of our pants because someone didn't show up kind of thing. There's always that
kind
of weird vibe.
Well, there's not a DJ. It's just kind of like a programmed block of songs.
They've been having guest DJs recently. Yeah. Like, but not, I mean, I think it's just in-house KLOS people. It's really, it's becoming a real obsession of mine.
Yeah.
Well, we're sympathetic too as people who have been off the air for mysterious reasons.
Oh, yes.
For
yeah.
Stretches
extremely
of time.
True.
So whatever's going on, we wish him the best.
We do.
Hope he can sort out his contract.
Yeah.
Do you think it's related to the crazy, creepy vibes of the Santa Ana winds that we are enduring?
Well, it predates the Santa Anas, right? Like
I mean, I guess it's been hot
Jonesy's,
since it's been off the air.
Jonesy's very sensitive to the weather, though.
Yes.
As is Tess.
Oh, my God. Too sensitive. Way too sensitive. I have a lot in common with Steve Jones.
What's his sign?
That's a good question. What would you guess?
Let's look it up. I don't know. I'm not a devotee. I used to listen to it when it was on Indie 103.1 ages ago.
But... I'm going to say he's a Taurus. Hmm. What do you think, Molly?
I think astrology's not real. But
oh, yeah?
But I'll say an Aries.
Oh, an Aries. Interesting.
I think we're all going fire signs.
Taurus is Earth.
He's a Virgo.
Ooh, a Virgo.
Just like me.
Molly. Look at you.
Yeah.
Everyone's a Virgo. That's why astrology is
everyone's a Virgo.
Virgos can be embattled.
Does that mean that you were conceived on like New Year's?
Yeah, I think that's my knowledge is the most people conceive on New Year's and that's
like,
why.
Like between Christmas and New Year's?
During
that's
the
why there's so many Virgos.
Yeah, it's a boozy time. A romantic boozy time.
People are trapped indoors.
They
in
are.
Other places. We're trapped indoors because of the fire.
Right, for opposite reasons, not for non-cozy reasons.
Last night we were all talking about how we all felt very on edge and distressed. And then I was also talking with like several other groups of people about the weird bad vibes.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help make you feel calm.
I think when the weather is disastrous, it's natural to like internalize that vibe emotionally. But it doesn't actually have anything to do with how you're doing. It's like you can acknowledge like that's an insane fucked up thing, but it doesn't mean necessarily that you are going to have an insane fucked up thing.
Right.
It's like a good mantra.
But it is, I think when it comes to especially things having to do with wind, when there's something that's like rattling the thing that you're in, the structure that you're
in. Emily, why don't you tell us where you were?
Well, I mean, we're all in a house, I presume, somewhere. I mean, I would not want to be outside. I was in Topanga in a tiny house. I think you could call
it a shack. It was a love shack.
It was a cube. It was a cabin cube.
A Cuban?
There is actually a thing that is like a It's not what you were just talking about, the El Capitan thing. There's, yeah, like a new service, or like they just build these like box houses or something.
Oh, I know those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I forget what they're called.
Those are fun. They have like a few different kinds. They're yeah, basically like used as she sheds or, yes, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
What's, but, a she shed?
It's like a man cave, but for women.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No, 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 no.
You know,
no,
you want one.
No, I don't want anything called that.
I think
ever,
the idea of them, they're expensive to build.
Why
they're
wouldn't
more expensive
it just be
than
a
anything,
woman cave? Cave.
I don't know.
A she shed? That's like a horrible.
Do you want to be in a cave?
Coin it.
A she, yeah, shed is like the sound of like metal scraping.
Yeah, that's true.
She shed.
She shed.
Crawl into my she shed.
Okay, now I'm in.
Yeah.
No, it was not a she shed that I was in, though. I will say that.
I looked into these, not as if I was going to get one, but right, just because I was like, what if I could do anything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you, mm-hmm, could have like a whole other house right next to your house.
Well, you might be thinking of something different, because this is like an Airbnb.
It's like a box.
It's a box, but it's like you rent them like you rent an Airbnb, mm-hmm, and they set them up. Like they have like, remember like KOA camping? Did anybody grow up camping as a kid?
I was forced to camp, but I don't know what KOA
camping. Oh, it's like a chain of campsites.
Oh.
There used to be a KOA campsite where Disney California Adventure now is, I believe. Or something else that they built. Or no. It's where all the parking garages are now, in Disneyland. That was a huge campground that,
really?
I stayed in the first time I went to Disneyland, because I did like a camping trip with my mom all the way down the coast. But this is like that. Like, so they have like campsites where you set up a tent, and then they would have like cabins also. Mm-hmm. So this is like that, except like chic and like whatever for internet era people or whatever. Again, this is not what I did. But I did stay in like, I was like in a very lo-fi setting for a few days this week, and happened to be there way up in Topanga Canyon when all this wind stuff started happening. And also made the mistake of, because I was getting nervous about the wind because it had been going on all day, I just, you know, of course, started drinking wine. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, if something like happened, like if a fire started up around here or something, I would be screwed right now, because, I mean, it would already be difficult to drive out in the dark, like sober.
Yeah.
Because it's just all these windy roads with no lights or
you
anything.
You got the fear.
I did. And then I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to ride this out. And it was fine. It was fine.
But you were saying also that you were from being alone for a few days.
Oh, yeah. I was in hermit mode, and I think just starting to
unravel.
I was highly sensitized, we'll say that. But
we were talking about canyons.
Yes.
Like whether or not you want to live in a canyon, and Emily and Molly were both saying that they were kind of drawn in by the canyon.
Oh, yeah, pro-canyon.
I'm very anti-canyon.
You're anti-canyon because you're practical. You're like, oh, it'll catch on fire.
Well, I've lived in canyons before, and when I was in high school, we lived on a like windy road during El Nino that was like closed, and we were kind of trapped in there,
yeah,
and I was like, ah, you always need to have like an alternate route out to a main thoroughfare. If there's just one, that's bad.
Yeah.
And then the past couple of years with the crazy insane fires, I'm just like, nah.
I just read this book about Laurel Canyon though, and it was like, oh, there were always crazy insane fires. Like, that's just a feature. Like, a lot of the fires right now that we're having, like, some of them are man-made, but some of them that are brush fires, like,
right,
it's, they're in places that aren't supposed to have stuff there.
And it's also part of the, like, you have to kind of burn down
there
to
are
regrow.
Yeah. If there were no people around there, it'd still be fires.
Right.
Right. And that's why there's, like, not supposed to be any people around there.
Right.
Like, I think Mike Davis wrote a really good thing about, like, why Malibu is unbuildable and, like, no one should actually, like, have a house there.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's meant to crumble and mudslide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And be on fire.
I, however, have chosen to live directly on a fault line.
Oh.
Which was fun. There was a map that came out a few years ago, and I was like, oh, let's see where we are there. And I'm in like a liquidation zone.
Liquefication zone?
Yeah, I think so.
Where the ground just turns to
liquefy? It turns, you're just gonna bye-bye, see ya. And I was like, in a way, I guess this is better to me than thinking of, because there's no getting out of that.
Like, I feel,
right. Yeah. It's,
you
very
can't
some
help
finality
it.
To it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all scary. I was just talking with my friend Sarah, because she's from Texas. We were talking about the tornado there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Because I have no experience with tornadoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Tess, probably not you either.
No, we actually had some in Connecticut and Massachusetts. They're very rare, but there were, I think, two in my lifetime, and one of them was really destructive, and you could see it tore all the roofs off of the barns.
Emily, tornado experiences?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Like a lot? That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I just didn't know anything about it, so.
It's pretty scary.
Well, Sarah sent me this video that her friend sent her that was like.
That was,
guy who went outside, and they said it was because his roof had already caved in, that he was like forced out onto the porch anyway.
Right.
But it was just like a 10-second video of a guy being like, whoa, we're in a hurricane. It's a tornado in a tornado. But and just like it looked so like, you know, there was like aluminum siding.
It looked
siding.
Like Twister.
It looked like Twister.
The sky looks insane when there's
it turns so yellow.
It there's, turns green.
Heard. It turns like green or yellow, and there's a sound that sounds like a train coming. It's really, it's quite a lot. It's a lot of nature.
Yeah.
It's like stuff that makes you like fear God. It's
no,
just
that's
like,
so scary. No. Like, and also I was like, oh, it turns green. That's why I like The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Yeah. It makes so much sense.
No, The Wizard of Oz is actually not a terribly inaccurate portrayal, aside from the whole thing where she's up in the cyclone and like the stuff is floating around.
You don't know what happens inside.
I know, it's true. I don't. But like up until then, it's actually like pretty, it feels right.
Well, that's what I always liked about it.
Yeah.
It's a good weather movie.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's a disaster movie.
And I like things that are about like the Midwest because it's something I know nothing about. Stories of pioneer folk of other towns.
Well, we have a pretty good night email we want to get to, but first, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next-generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Hello and welcome back. We have a night email from Malia. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, who says, "Hey, Night Call. Love the Disney Parks talk on this week's episode, and I felt like I had to write in. I'm a current cast member at Disney World in Florida, which means I spent a lot of time working in the cryptid lair that is the tunnels under the Magic Kingdom. There's too much to go into in one email, but most recently and most notably, the cast radio station down here was playing none other than certified Night Call anthem, Ashley O's On a Roll, and it was too wild to not share. Have a magical day, Malia." Thank you so much, Malia.
Wow, that made our day magical.
It's great. I mean, it's weird because my first thought was like, oh, it's like Radio Disney or something, and it's Miley, but then I was like, no, like, Black Mirror has nothing to do with Disney.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think they play that one on Radio Disney.
If anything, that's a very kind of, like, self-owning thing to
right,
do.
Yeah. I met a guy at Disneyland once who said that everybody who worked at Disneyland was really into Westworld.
Really?
That makes total sense.
It's, like, always nice when somebody makes a show or a movie about your job.
Well, the underground tunnels are so interesting. Because I feel like I thought that was true about Disneyland, but it's not.
It's just Disney World
has an underground tunnel system.
But it's only for employees?
Yeah, it's under the whole park. It's so that employees can walk across the park.
And then pop up?
Yeah, and it's like where all the cafeterias and lockers and stuff are.
Whoa.
In Disneyland, those areas are like outside behind the rides. And that was the other thing was when I went to Disneyland with a guide, we like got to cut the line so they would take us through the backstage. And like that to me was the most fun thing.
Yeah,
I was
like,
ooh, people on their smoke breaks and like eating lunch. And
I'm surprised they let the employees smoke on the grounds at all.
They don't. I'm just exaggerating.
Right, but that kind of
don't
like...
Don't narc anybody,
they were
Molly.
Eating lunch and stuff.
Yeah.
And it would just be like flowers. There were like all these planters, you know, of like the flowers that go everywhere in Disneyland.
Uh-huh.
But I think in Disney World, it's like they keep that stuff even more out of sight. Yeah.
We should take a field trip to Disney World.
Yeah, I've never been.
I've never been either.
I stayed in the hotel.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yes,
My big regret during Grantland when I had the Silver Pass is I didn't go to Disney World.
Right.
Then I'm like, I would have had to like pay for a trip to Florida. It just seemed like a lot of work.
The tickets to Disney World would probably still be the most expensive part.
Yeah.
To get a ticket to Florida like costs like way less than it should cost.
It was a mistake, but I would really like to go. I've always wanted to see Epcot.
Yeah.
Because it seems like just the weird 80s encapsulated. And I want to go on that Frozen ride.
The former Viking ride.
Yeah.
Look, maybe if we get to $5,000 a month on Patreon,
we'll do
a whole week, like an everyday report from our week in Disney World.
We'll do a live movie, like that guy who shot the movie at Disney World that I love.
Day After Tomorrow
Escape
or whatever.
From
Escape
Tomorrow.
From Tomorrow. There we go.
Wait, you love that movie?
I did too. Yes. My husband was in acting class with the woman who played the mom in that, and we were like so starstruck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god, it's her.
I love
her.
That movie.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that movie also, gives me such.
That was also when I was
I
like getting. I feel like that was when I was like, everyone's gonna make amazing movies on their iPhones.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I was excited about that idea.
Well, what's his face? Sean Baker took a.
I'm just saying there can be lots, and I was just.
But
excited.
He filmed in Disney World.
I'm just. Well, I haven't seen that one.
Oh,
what is that one?
Florida Project.
Oh,
yeah,
right,
I'm
right.
Surprised
yeah.
you haven't seen that.
It seems really depressing.
It's pretty depressing, but it's also kind of great. It's good, but it does have sequence at the end.
I've definitely watched depressing documentaries about Orlando.
Right. Yeah.
And stuff that happens on the fringes of Disney World.
Yeah.
Disney World is also built on a swamp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which makes the idea of having underground tunnels seem even weirder to me.
I think it is weirder, but also underground tunnels in LA is also a bad idea
because of earthquakes.
Yeah,
I was like because of the lizard people.
Also that
who already live there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never did the tunnels at UCLA, but that's like a big thing that people.
Where are those?
Under the whole campus.
The whole campus?
Like, yeah, there's a tunnel system, and sometimes there would be sanctioned tours of them, and then sometimes like I'd hear some kids like snuck into them or something, but I was not cool enough to ever be like in the know. About student activities. So
that secret underground networks.
Yeah. I love a tunnel network, though.
Yeah.
You guys don't get nervous in tunnels?
How long is
the tunnel?
That's the question.
I get really nervous in whatever that one is on the East Coast where you go, like, under an entire river.
What is that?
You mean, like, the subway?
No, because that...
The tunnel?
Yeah, the tunnel.
The tunnel is... Yeah. Well, that's an... That's in England.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's another
it's
one.
On the East Coast.
Yeah.
On
the East Coast of the world.
Of the world.
Europe is the East Coast of the world. That's our episode title.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a tunnel that you like cannot see the light out of.
Yeah.
Sure. Especially if it's underground.
What about if you've ever been on a train, high speed or otherwise, where it like just cuts through a mountain? And you kind of go like, like just in and out. That's always kind of scary.
I love those tunnels through the mountains in Malibu, though. Like,
oh yeah,
on PCH.
No, like on the canyon over from the valley.
Oh yeah.
But a lot of those are so narrow, like because they're so old and they're made. But it's weird because cars were huge. I feel like back in the day,
right, they were super narrow.
But there was only one of them at a time.
Right, there's only one car in the whole canyon.
All of the driveways from the houses that were built in the 20s that haven't because like the houses kind of go up until the driveway line, and the driveways are too narrow.
Narrow driveways and those high ass curbs.
Oh, yeah. The high ass curbs, of course.
From my big white wheels on my automobile.
Well, we could talk about Los Angeles infrastructure probably for the rest of the episode, but let's go back to the East Coast. Is it the East Coast? Lighthouse?
Oh, it Tesla. Is. So, it, yes.
And
I did
hell.
See the lighthouse. It is.
It seems extremely East Coast.
It is extremely East Coast. It is a movie that I just saw. I saw a matinee. I keep doing this mistake where a movie comes out that's like a nighttime movie for sure.
Uh-huh.
And this is like a black and white movie set in the 1800s in like, it's an unnamed but very clearly East Coast. I think it was filmed in Nova Scotia, but it reads very Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a movie that was directed and produced and co-written by Robert Eggers, who did The Witch.
The Witch.
Did you guys see The Witch?
Oh, yeah.
I did not see The Witch.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I think I knew this, and I had the same reaction last time. You got to see it.
I know. Yeah, well, now I want to.
Watch it.
Have you watched it?
No, I haven't either. But it kept coming up at the zoo. We went to the zoo with my brother and his wife and their kids, and every time we saw a goat, they'd go, the black fellow.
This movie, so my husband wanted to see this movie, and he wouldn't tell me anything about it. He was like, do you want to see The Lighthouse? And I was like, sure, what is it? And he was like,
it feels like a real movie for actors.
It's a super actory movie. And also, it features a mermaid's vagina.
Oh, cool.
Spoiler, maybe, or maybe not spoiler. She's not supposed to be a sexy mermaid. She's supposed to be like a scary.
Well, that
mermaid.
I like
scary mermaids.
I like the scary. Her whole thing is that she like shrieks in a really horrible.
So she's like a banshee mermaid.
She's a banshee mermaid. Exactly. Cool. She's like the opposite of a siren.
Cool.
And it stars Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, and that's pretty much it, other than the mermaid. They are two wikis who are people who tend the lighthouse.
I was going to say, what's a wiki?
Oh, they're wikis. And it's a psychological horror movie. I would not have seen this movie had I known all that, but I'm glad that I did. But yeah, it's a very, very Night Call movie.
Well, he's like very in the Vivitch. I can't say it normally now. I just always, because that's how it's stylized on the poster. But it's very, it's one of these things that's like feels... It's so well researched, and it feels well researched.
I think that's their whole thing. I think
incredibly
that's
immersive.
Whole thing.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's similar here. They really did like a lot of research on, and I guess it's kind of very loosely based on two wikis who they were both named Thomas, which I won't say if that's related. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. It would spoil it if I did. But they were both named Thomas, and one of them died, and that was kind of all the information that. He had making this movie, but he was like, I'm going to tie that in. And then he did a lot of research on like what they ate. It has so much texture that's accurate.
What did they eat?
Okay. It was. Oh, so man. That's the thing.
This is like an excellent question.
Yeah. They don't explicate it all. They show you what it is, but they don't talk about it too much. But it's very clearly like salt cod. But the funny, so it's shot on 35mm and it's black and white. So it's so hard. You're like, there's a lot to see on that plate. What is it, though? You don't know. But at one point, Willem Dafoe goes out of his way to make, like, a really, really nice dinner of lobster, and it's not appreciated. So he goes on, like, a, like, five-minute-long monologue, like, cursing Robert Pattinson. And he's like, you didn't like me lobster. You didn't like me cooking. Like, a pox on your eyes and you'll be blind. And it just goes on and on and on. So food plays a major role.
What was the thing about beans?
Oh, yeah. So that's... He spilled his beans. He doesn't literally spill beans, but he spilled the beans. And at some point, it's like, Robert Pattinson spilled the fucking beans, and he shouldn't have spilled his secrets because starts a whole domino effect. But at one point, Willem Dafoe's voice is like echoing in the background, being like, you spilled your beans. You shouldn't have spilled your beans. And it's a lot of that. Also, there's a point at which like Willem Dafoe kind of poses in the nude, sort of like a sea god. And I was like, how many movies have I seen where Willem Dafoe he strikes a pose in the buff?
Yeah.
It's like five movies.
He loves
something.
To do it.
He's like the only guy who will get naked in a movie.
Love it. Yeah. He's fantastic. I mean, they're both
fantastic.
Really fantastic. But I highly recommend this movie.
I heard that the Pattinson performance is like primo weirdness. Like,
yeah, he's like, very committed. Yeah. He's extremely committed. And his plot is like an interesting... I think Robert Pattinson palpably has been so uncomfortable with being a heartthrob that he like goes
He's
to
been,
the gross place,
yeah.
which I so love.
Yeah. I am like very supportive of every decision he makes, even if it leads to like a not great movie, like High Life, for example. But like, I love that he went all in for that.
Yeah. He also has kind of like a Kyle MacLachlan thing going at certain times where he's very kind of like
That's
hypnotized in his own mind and it pulls you in like a vacuum.
Yeah.
Go see The Lighthouse. Don't see it in the morning.
It does sound like something that once it comes to DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, it's going to take like two edits and a music cue to turn it into like a sitcom.
Exactly. If you only did different music. Also, that's the other thing about seeing in the theater, which normally Emily's the one who's like, see it in the theater. But definitely see it in the theater because the score, I mean, it has like a recurring foghorn thing.
Ooh, who does the score? I'm looking this up.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the foghorn is like in the background. But the foghorn is supposed to, I think, just make you so physically it makes you, it's a very uncomfortable movie to watch.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I I want to see it.
Sea Madness.
I'm back to being behind movies again because I had my two movie day and then I was like, I'm all caught up. I don't need to see anything. And in the meantime, like now that I'm not like seeing movies every single week, I like realize how easy it is to get behind. But I really want to see this because I love The Witch.
Well, you saw Parasite.
I did see Parasite.
Which I'm dying to see.
Oh my God. You guys have to see Parasite. Parasite is... As several people, including myself, have pointed out, it is the movie that Joker wishes it was in more ways than one, including like a part at the end that literally because I saw the two movies on the same day. And
right.
Yeah. Well, there's like a weird parallel between an actually very specific parallel between them where I was like, oh, my God, if I tapped into something like intentional, like were these, you know, released at the same time just to fuck with you. But it is a new movie by Bong Joon-ho, who did The Host, Snowpiercer. What else? Oh, Okja. He's done a lot of stuff that's like kind of crossover, like international productions lately. And then this is like just a fully Korean production, all Korean cast, everything, and very much about like socioeconomic anxiety in South Korea. Did you guys see Burning?
No.
Oh, that's really, I think that's on Netflix now. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I feel like there are so many good like class dramas coming out of South Korea right now, which makes sense because I think like there's a lot of fucked up stuff going on there that's like in some way similar to stuff that's happening here.
Yeah.
But Parasite is sort of, it starts out being this kind of, and I won't spoil it because it deserves to be seen. It starts off as kind of just a, you feel like you know where it's going. It's like this poor family has kind of found a way to scam themselves into getting jobs working for this rich family. And so they all like they don't tell them that they're all related, but they, you know, take jobs as like a tutor and the driver and stuff like that. And then they make a discovery when they are at the house by themselves that I will not spoil, that like takes the whole movie in a completely different direction. It feels sort of like a horror movie, but there's really, because I have had several people who've been like, oh, should I see it if I'm squeamish? Mm-hmm. And there's like one violent moment, like really violent moment at the end. But I don't know. I just like, I'm glad that we aren't talking about this until now, even though it's been out for a couple weeks, because I really did have to take like a long time to think about it. And I have to be like frustratingly vague about it right now without spoiling it.
Yeah, we'll see it. I really want to see it.
Well,
yeah,
it has like, I think it's like has a really kind of interesting and visceral way of talking about class that I feel like doesn't get talked about as much. Like it made me think of all these sort of stories that we've talked about on this podcast, like the Anna Delvey stuff and like the Caroline Calloway stuff and just like fakers in the 21st century, just like what, like how that works and like why people try to scam each other and stuff. But then it kind of goes into, it goes deeper into it and becomes more about just like a sickness, like a society-wide sickness. Again, this is like why it's the movie that Joker wanted to be.
Yeah.
That is really, really effective. And it's funny, like all of his movies, like they kind of play with all these different genres and go in and out of like feeling like a horror movie and feeling like a thriller and a comedy and like really seamlessly like from one section to the next. And I don't know. I loved it. It's like I'm not alone in this at all. It's like the most highly.
Yeah, it's the highest reviewed movie of the year.
It's great. It won the Palme d'Or this year at Cannes. And I like, you know, wanted to see it very, very badly from when it was there. And yeah, everybody should go out and see it. It's fantastic.
Molly, do you have any recommendations of movies for people to see?
Vampire in Brooklyn. I watched the first two Scream movies again, and then, yeah, I ended up watching Vampire in Brooklyn just because I'd never seen it. It's another Wes Craven movie.
Yep, I've never seen Vampire in Brooklyn. I don't even know if I'm familiar with it.
It was Wes Craven's first big studio movie, and it was an Eddie Murphy vehicle. It was Eddie Murphy's last movie in his deal with Paramount that had, I think, Beverly Hills Cop and other stuff in it. So, it's a movie where Eddie Murphy is a vampire who arrives on a boat full of dead people.
In present day.
Yes.
But there's a part when they're like, yes, when the vampire diaspora happened, like some of the vampires went to Transylvania, but all the really smart vampires went to the Caribbean, where Eddie Murphy's vampire is from.
Okay.
And then Angela Bassett is like a police chief, or not maybe a chief, just a cop whose mom like died mysteriously and was maybe a vampire also.
Ooh.
So it's a romance between Angela Bassett and Eddie Murphy as a vampire. And what I didn't know going in is that the Eddie Murphy vampire character is like, he's just Lestat.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's Lestat with like this long perm. He's like, I guess it was a flop. So he was like, it's because I had that hair. Because I had
yes,
this.
Yes, that's why. Kept the people away.
Yeah. That's what kept people away was my beautiful like Rick James hair. But like, it's actually really funny and good. But he just, yeah, he just plays it like he's like the most magnetic person in the world. Like Johnny was like.
Is he wearing color contacts?
I think so. Yeah, Johnny was like, does this take place in the same universe as What We Do in the Shadows? And I was like, yes, because that is set on Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
this
yeah.
is like, yeah, it's a vampire in Brooklyn. So it's also like of a different era of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's just funny and good. I just enjoyed it. It was like a lovely set piece.
Is it scary or is it just more of a comedy?
I mean, it's like a
Wes Craven comedy.
Yeah, it's not super violent, but he definitely kills some people. There's like a couple of good kills in it that are scary. Somebody gets like pinned to a building in a terrifying way. But I think it was like the last thing he did before Scream, which is interesting because I think it was a flop. Yeah. So then he was like,
gotta take some time.
Back to the indie horror circuit.
How did you think Scream held up? Because I started watching
it I love Scream.
Again
Scream
after
is
you
great.
Were watching it. It's
Scream
so good.
Is the best. But I just, yeah, I think all those Wes Craven movies are good. I think I didn't realize that there weren't as many of them as I thought. Like when I went and looked at his IMDb, I was like, oh, he didn't have like hit after hit the way that like I assumed he did,
mm-hmm.
like John Carpenter or somebody.
Yeah.
It's sort of like he has the Nightmare movies and then there's like some random movie, a lot of stuff I've never seen that
really?
I would like to see. I've never seen Serpent in the Rainbow, which everybody says is like the
oh,
scariest
I heard, oh,
one.
Yeah, I heard it's great.
My mom worked on it and she was like, you can't watch it. It's too scary.
I've never seen it. No.
It's another like voodoo horror movie. I mean, what I also liked about Vampire in Brooklyn was that it was like a different vampire mythology than the thing you see in every other vampire thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was like.
I like the intellectual Caribbean vampire
genre.
Exactly.
Unexplored.
No, the anti-colonialist vampire is totally underexplored.
Totally.
You know, you always get like the Anne Rice stuff where it's like, it is the colonialists, but like this was so good. And also just Angela Bassett and Eddie Murphy have like crazy chemistry
yeah,
in
I bet.
It. And there's a UB40 cover of Superstition in the big. He like seduces people by dancing with them.
Oh my God.
Such a vampire thing
He's
to
like,
do.
Would you like to dance?
I'm reading my first Anne Rice book right now extremely slowly. It's like my fun book.
Oh, which one?
Queen of the Damned.
Cool.
I just, because I found it at a thrift store in Palm Springs, and I was like, I'm going to read this by the pool.
Well, I just found out that she was good friends with Eve Babbitts.
Oh.
Which I just did the intro for this Eve Babbitts book that just came out.
I Used to Be Charming.
I Used to Be Charming.
Yeah.
The rest of Eve Babbitts. Check it out. But yeah, I was also like, ooh, she and Anne Rice are like,
I would
cool West Coast
love to
lady
hang
writers.
Out with them. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I read a bunch about Anne Rice because I actually didn't really know that much about her because I'd only seen Interview with the Vampire and that's like it. I never saw the movie of Queen of the Damned and now I'm like, should I
watch? Yeah, you totally should. Like, I mean, Aaliyah is amazing.
Yeah.
Aaliyah is like, she has one or two scenes, but they're like,
yeah.
Makes you sad.
Yeah.
Anne Rice rules. What I learned about her also was that like she wrote whatever the first book was. I don't know if it was Interview with the Vampire, but like whatever the first book in the saga is that she wrote, nobody would publish it.
Really?
Yeah. And she was like a San Francisco person.
Yeah.
She lived in like the Hate, I think, with her husband. And they were like, we were kind of square because we were like a straight married couple, but we were in this like, this totally queer scene. And that's like kind of what Interview with the Vampire comes out of.
Yeah.
Although she's also from New Orleans, which is obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very New Orleansy.
Was she, I know she's like Christian. Was she Christian then or was that
no,
like a later?
She became
like, born
un-Christian again, I think, too.
Yeah, she had like a, yeah, she had a very.
She went through a phase of like, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then she went back.
But she also, like, I mean, she's one of these people who has an entire body of work under a different name.
Yeah.
To all of her erotica, which is, God. Like, so awesome.
Exit to Eden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was also reading about that because I, like, didn't realize how, like, what an actual shit show that movie
Have
was.
Have you seen it?
No, oh I haven't.
Oh, my
how,
God.
How
oh
is it? Oh. I kind of feel like we should read Exit to Eden and then watch the movie.
So the book is just an erotic book about people who go to, like, a fuck island.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But in order to make it a movie, they decided it needed a framing device of a, like, murder on the island.
Yeah, it was like a cop investigation.
And the cops are Dan Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell. And there's, like, a part.
Oh, it sounds great.
Well, it is, because it's, like, it's the weirdest movie, because it's, like,
they have to go undercover in the kinky BDSM world. Like,
it's, like, you know, in, like, old porn, when there's dialogue and stuff, there'll be, like, a scene, and then it'll be, like, we got to go over there, and then it'll just cut to, like, people having sex. That's what Exit to Eden is like. It's, like, you can't, like, relax enough for the comedy, because then it turns into softcore, but you can't get into being at softcore because it, like, turns back into comedy.
Oh, it sounds so
bad. It's so weird. The villain is Iman, I think.
Oh,
it's like,
whoa.
It's the most baroque.
When is this from? Like, 90s?
Early 90s,
94.
Because I definitely.
How,
like,
did this not make it into our erotic odyssey?
It's a comedy. It's like billed as a comedy.
It's a sex comedy.
It's a 1994 American comedy
thriller.
But it's thriller.
Totally in.
Directed by Gary Marshall.
Oh my God. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so weird.
Does that explain everything?
No.
Or does it unexplain what you thought?
It makes it even weirder, because, like, it explains, like, the comedy
look
parts
at the poster.
Feel like they're just.
Oh my God.
Right. Like, the comedy parts are very Gary Marshall, but, like.
Please look up the poster.
Like, I remember because I saw it on, like, some other kid's cable late at night.
Right.
And I was like, what is this movie? There's a part that's like, there's just like a 10-minute scene of, like, somebody rubbing butter on someone's nipple. It's very in the 9.5 weeks.
I think we should have, for Erotic Odyssey Part 2, which maybe won't go on for, we did it for like 3 months or something.
should we do sex comedies instead?
If you have thoughts on this, please drop us a call.
I usually hate sex comedies, I will say. So, sex is no laughing matter. but
I like sex comedies.
I don't know. And so many of them
I like
have
all
aged
the
so poorly.
Well, they've aged badly, but they're, like, incredible cultural documents.
Right. They are. Yes. Yeah.
And I like The Last American Virgin, because that's the one with the downer ending, where the hot girl's like, I'm going to go date this popular guy instead. And then the nerd just, like, skulks away and sad music plays, and that's how it ends.
That's just like the end of What Hot American
I think
Summer.
That's where they got it from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was based on an Israeli movie called Lemon Popsicle.
It's a great title.
That sounds like such a porn
There's
name,
There's, like,
though.
Seven Lemon in the Popsicle. Series. Yeah. I think fondly of, like, staring at the cover art for all those things more than actually. But Porky's is fine. I mean, it's not.
It's
good,
not really.
But it's like, I have watched it.
And well, that means something.
Sometimes they're just like, it's a question of vibes. It's like, does it make, like, even if maybe what's going on is not what, like, anybody could get away with today in a film.
There's literally no movie from the 80s. That passes that test.
Yeah, like, that's the problem.
Every classic comedy from the 80s that you can name has, like, something super racist in it.
Yeah, yeah. Or something, like, or you just feel like something really sinister
or
was happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, or something really rapey.
Yeah.
Or both. Usually both.
It's usually a little both.
And I think for us, too, it's like, well, we saw these movies probably when we were younger, so it's fine to be like, oh, it just reminds me of being younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's, like, a new generation falling in love with Porky's, although.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I never say never.
Also, people, like, American Pie was, like, makes no sense now.
The idea of rewatching American Pie, I literally am so repulsed.
I didn't like it at the time.
I saw it in the theaters.
So did I.
I saw it after I had seen
it in the theaters.
I saw them all. But I think.
It made me uncomfortable at the time.
I just hate gross out comedy.
That's, yeah.
When sex comedy and gross out comedy got together, that's when sex comedy lost.
Didn't Road Trip have some really disgusting parts in it?
It was just like an arms race to be like, what's the grossest thing we can do? And then actually Scary Movie, like, won.
I loved Scary Movie.
Scary Movie 1 with the scene where somebody gets, like, plastered to the ceiling and jizz.
Yes.
And we were like, okay,
we did it.
Checkmate.
I have such fond memories of watching Scary Movie maybe like a first experience of smoking weed and watching scary movie potentially and laughing so hard. And then now I don't
Anna Faris was really great in those movies.
That's
what made them. I mean, they were fine. They were like Airplane.
Yeah, exactly.
Which again, probably
you can't go there.
Well, no. Let us know if you think we should do a sex comedy series or a gross. We should put ourselves through the ringer of a gross out sex comedy series. I don't know. I don't know if I'm up for that. But let us know what we should do next for our next film series.
For our next Odyssey.
Our next Odyssey, we should say.
It's an Odyssey.
What other movies are like Interview with the Vampire and Vampire in Brooklyn? That's
well,
what I
hate
know.
Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
We're going to take an ad and we'll be right back.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day, whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade. At the Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Active Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
welcome back. So as I said earlier, I was in Topanga for the week, not the weekend. I took a work trip to Topanga, and I did a little bit of hiking in between. And as I shared with Tess and Molly, I use the site hikespeak.com. I'm not sure if that's hikespeak or hikespeak, but it's like it's just an index of all the trails around LA. And so I was looking up trails in Topanga because I was unfamiliar with them, and I discovered a hike that leads to a former hideout for Nazi sympathizers in Topanga Canyon, which was news to me. I didn't know about that at all. And so I read out all about it on my hiking website. And I sent this to Tess and Molly, of course, because I was like, did you know?
Weirdly enough, I was also reading a book about it at the same time.
What's the book? What?
I was reading that book about Laurel Canyon called Weird Scenes in the Canyon.
Oh, and that it talks about this?
Yeah, and I knew about it because I knew people who had hiked it before. Mm. And I think there was like an LA Weekly article about it.
Okay.
About 10 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm. It's apparently closed now, or they've like fenced off the area.
They knocked down some of the buildings.
Yeah.
But I think it was always technically maybe privately owned by the state.
Right.
So I think it's more of an urban explorer situation. But people did hike there a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're not supposed to go in the buildings because they're not up to code.
But is it Murphy Ranch?
It's Murphy Ranch in Rustic Canyon. And I guess you hike up from the Palisades to get into it. And it seems like a pretty good hike.
So it was a post World War II fortified compound for Nazi sympathizers.
And who built it? Who?
Like a militia, like a early militia.
Wow.
And I think they were rich. It's actually one of the weirdest things about it is that the front gate is designed by noted black LA architect Paul Williams, who's like the first black architect who was ever allowed to join like the Architects Association. Uh-huh. He's like a super famous, great LA architect who designed
all that stuff in the 50s, right?
Yeah. So he designed the gate for this.
Which is like very illustrious.
It's
like quite a nice wrought iron gate.
So I don't know if it started as just a rich people's house and at some point turned into a white supremacist compound, or if it was always intended to be that.
And did people actually live there and like literally hide out in their bunker until the return of the Third Reich? Or
well, this says that the so around the power building are raised gardens and more concrete steps, all remnants of the $4 million invested in Murphy Ranch by Winona and Norman Stevens. The owners were convinced by their Nazi pal, Herr Schmidt, that when Europe inevitably fell to Germany, America would be reduced to anarchy, and the National Socialist Party would need a self-sustaining stronghold in the mountains outside of Los Angeles to survive the fall and plot the American takeover. But then authorities ended up, like, raiding it after Pearl Harbor, and then it became an artist colony in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. I mean, always look to...
Yeah, it came up in some of the Manson stuff because... you know, just of like all the other cults and communes that were in the LA area at the time when Manson first got here and that he might have known about or gotten inspiration from.
Yeah.
A lot of weird squats at that point.
I mean, but it's weird because like with in the case of like the Manson thing, that kind of like we think about like artists repurposing something like a Nazi bunker or hideout. And it's like, oh, it's like the furthest thing from what it used to be. But like Manson actually exists at the intersection of those two things. So it seems very appropriate.
A lot of the cults and communes in LA turned out to be white separatist cells, which, you know, makes sense given the history of Los Angeles and California in general. Mm-hmm. And also, I guess, kind of explains why they were like left alone by authorities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because I'm sure other kinds of communes were not.
Right. Yeah.
Not as a. And also just because they were rich people, it sounds like they were like, do whatever you want.
I wonder if it was somebody's house and they just decided, like, oh, well, just pool our resources. And
I think maybe the people who built it might have been, who knows? We'll find out. If you know more about the Murphy Ranch.
I know. I kind of want to go there now and see what there is to see. I had already done a hike, so I wasn't going to do any more hiking. But I was like,
well, then that would not have been a good time to do it also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because there was literally a fire.
You were between two fires.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should go check it out. I'd like to check out all the weird parks that I haven't been to.
Yeah. There's also, well, then I just got on a kick of like looking for all these other ruins about around Los Angeles. And have either of you been to Echo Mountain?
No. Where's that? Oh, yeah.
Johnny does that hike a lot.
Yeah. It's like a former, like a resort with, that used to have a funicular going up in the Angeles National Forest.
Ooh.
Yeah. I love an old
there
funicular.
There are some good Angeles National Forest ruins. There's yeah. also like a house that the Marx Brothers owned that the foundation of is still there. That's supposed to be haunted.
Every winter, I think about going up there to see snow.
Yeah.
And then every winter, I start driving and I'm just like, what if I get stuck up there
in the
snow?
Let's go this winter.
You can drive.
Yeah.
I'll bring the chains for your tires.
You don't have to go
that far to see snow.
See snow, yeah.
But I want to be like, I don't want to just drive up to the line where the snow stops.
No,
but like, I want to go like
you want to roll around in the snow.
I want to roll in the
you
snow.
You want to build a snowman.
I want to look before and after and all around and be like, snow.
We'll do that this year.
Okay, done. If it ever gets cold, which it doesn't seem like it ever will.
Cold, I did look into the forecast for the winter and saw that it was like very dry.
What?
We're going to have a
Farmer's
dry
Farmer's Almanac did not say that.
It said it will be very dry because no El Nino like last year.
Do you really read the Farmer's Almanac?
Fuck yeah, I read the Farmer's Almanac.
How That's amazing.
How else is she going to know when to plant the carrots?
I have to plant the carrots. The Farmer's Almanac said it was going to be a wetter than usual winter.
Oh, really?
Yes, it did.
That's what it was last year. Yeah. And I was like this forever now, please.
Give us another wet one.
You guys, they've been so wrong because they said that super El Nino was coming. And I've never been more excited in my life. And then it there was like a weird pressure system or something that kept it away.
Well, that's weather for you.
I know. It's the most frustrating science.
There needs to be more like cultural weather coverage. Like you're doing a newsletter now about the weather. Which where can people find that?
I don't know. It's like tiny letter. It's LA weather.
Yeah. Is it like you report on the weather after it happens?
Yeah, a little bit.
I love
it. It's
that.
Like it's, if it jumps off with the weather, it gets into whatever else is going on. I mean, like, that's, you know.
The All used to do those weather reports every day, which is like a great recurring bit.
I like
bit.
The idea of commenting on weather that's already happened.
Yeah. Right. It's You're the like, weather from yesterday.
It's yeah. the review.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great.
You
I like
can't
that.
Talk about the weather that's to come. That's an imaginated thing. It's imaginated.
Well, yeah, and like the qualities of it are going to be so much more than like a little gust of wind symbol or a sunshine symbol. Like there's a whole body feeling of different weather.
Well, you had retweeted that screenshot of Dallas rains in the forecast with all the fires behind
him.
Oh, yeah.
I love Dallas Rains.
Yeah, I hid in a dark bar all day yesterday and people were just watching the fires on TV. And yeah, I was like, God. Well, this is apocalyptic.
Cheerful.
Yeah.
And also just kept like switching between like, now to throw over to this fire.
Yeah. I mean, the dueling fires, that's always fun. I think it was like earlier this year, there were fires where theoretically, if they just got worse and worse, you could never
like
get out.
It's like a movie. You're like, oh, please don't merge. Please don't let the plot lines
please
merge.
Please don't merge.
Please don't be the same plot line like a murder mystery would be.
We have one last
we're very
night
excited.
Call. A call that we'd like to answer.
Hey, Night Call. This is Mitchell. Long time, first time. It's about 11:27 p.m. here in Mobile, Alabama, and I just finished the episode with Karina Longworth. It got me thinking about amusement park rides. I think that's something we're all interested in. One of my big obsessions is the still unconfirmed Guillermo del Toro adaptation of The Haunted Mansion. So I was wondering if you could either A, take an amusement park ride and turn it into a film, a play, whatever you'd like, what ride would that be and who would you want to be behind it? Or vice versa, if you could take a film, a play, anything, and convert it to an amusement park ride, what would that be? Love the show, guys. Bye.
Thank you so much, Mitchell.
Such a good question.
Real good question. I'm assuming this is sort of limited to Disney rides, but if they're really well-known non-Disney rides that would be like that have enough of a narrative behind them that they could be turned into a feature film, then I don't know if you guys know of that, then let me know. But I feel like my mind is like very locked in the Disney bubble right now because those are the ones that are so evocative. I am always shocked that there has never been a Matterhorn movie.
Yeah.
Like the Abominable Snowman is like such a
a specter of any, like, in any child's imagination who's ever gone to a Disney park, and it only exists in the park. Like, they haven't really taken the abominable snowman anywhere else, which is sort of shocking to me. But I would totally, I think either of those mountain rides, Big Thunder Mountain or
I love
Matterhorn.
Thunder Mountain.
I love Thunder Mountain.
It's my favorite.
I like Thunder Mountain. I like these rides so much I don't want them to be movies.
I think the Matterhorn would be great.
Yeah, the Matterhorn could be really scary.
Yeah.
Like a real, a PG-13, like Disney-fied version of a scary movie, but still, like, I think you could have some fun with that as long as you don't turn it into a Frozen movie, which is probably what they would want to do.
Well, somebody else made an Abominable Snowman movie that just came out.
Oh, right.
Scooped
it's called
Disney.
Abominable.
Yeah. I saw it.
How was it?
It was heartwarming.
See, they got there first. On
what's weird is that the word abominable is not used at any point throughout the movie.
That is weird.
Isn't that strange? I know.
I'll tell you what ride I would like.
Okay.
The Lighthouse.
You want the wiki film.
The wiki. But close to that, Moby Dick.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. Like just an immersive Moby Dick ride.
Yeah. How would that be like a dark ride? Like a
It would be like a dark ride. You know that part in Pirates of the Caribbean where you go into the room and all of a sudden you're in the open ocean?
Yes.
It's scary. Because you're like, where am I? There's a ship.
Yes.
It would be like that, but you'd come into the open ocean and there'd be like a whale, a giant whale.
Oh, so good.
That would be so fun.
Like the scary, like the squid and the whale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? You can't even see it from far away at first because it's so dark, and then you get close and it's so big.
What about a squid in the whale dark ride where you survive your parents' divorce in Brooklyn?
I think a lot of people in Disney World are going on that ride.
I love the dark ride format so much. It's so interesting.
I just think it's underexplored as an art form.
Yeah. As like a narrative
form.
Because
it's so expensive to do.
Right. But, well, when I went with the Blank Check Boys to Six Flags in New Jersey, their whole thing is that Six Flags has all the DC properties, but they don't have they can't use the actual imagery or filmed images from any of the DC movies. So it's all this like weird CGI stuff of like Lex Luthor, which is like really cruddy and really bad. And the rides
workaround.
Are horrible. Like if you, I think David Sims had not been to a Disney park before. He hadn't been to Disneyland. And we were just like, this will make you appreciate Disneyland so much because like the care that's put into it
is
such a
Six Flags?
Yeah.
Six Flags is the most brutalist.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like I understand why some people like that, you know? Like if you just want thrills, that's what you want.
Yeah.
But I'm like the opposite. I want just like all theming and no thrills.
Yeah.
Or like the gentlest thrills. I will say that after we did our whole Splash Mountain Song of the South podcast with Karina last week, I watched like a million Disney ride-through videos.
You love the ride-through videos.
I was like, I'm going to watch all the versions of Splash Mountain because there were supposedly things that were different about Tokyo Disneyland, although I could not identify any of them.
Yeah.
I always wonder how that works with the Tokyo Disneyland and with Euro Disney because they're like the licensing is different there. They're not Disney owned. It's like bought out or something.
More of like a franchise kind of thing. I went to like, Euro Disney.
I think all the
non-American
parks are like in cooperation with the government of the country they put them in.
I think, isn't the Shanghai one though an official Disney park?
They're all like they're all like half owned by like that one's like half owned by China, I believe. So I don't know if Euro Disney is also like that, but
I have to say that I did watch like ride through videos for the Pirates of the Caribbean at Shanghai Disney like when it first opened because I heard that they were insane.
Yeah,
and like I really want to go.
No, I totally want to go, but also it was like more CGI, less animatronics, which is never what I want.
Can I tell you guys my rides that I wish existed?
Yes.
A Gremlins ride.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which I would really enjoy. But also, because it's such a pain to find food at Disney and like sit down. This wouldn't have to be.
A restaurant ride.
Okay. So there's a play called Slow Food that I think only has like medium good reviews. But I read the script and it's basically like.
Slow West, but with food.
It's about a couple in Palm Springs and their waiter like. I don't know if this is a spoiler or not because it's kind of like inherent in the title, but the food takes a long time to get there. But I was like, why not tie this in? Because in real theme parks, the food takes a long time to get there. But you could make it into like a ride of its own if you were being like kind of psychologically tortured by the waiter. Yeah. And you were wondering, where's the food?
Oh, there's a place in Vegas that I'm obsessed with and have never been to called Dick's Last Resort. The premise is like they insult you.
Oh, that's like Ed Debevix.
Ed Debevix,
Debevix.
That's how it is.
Ed Debevix, the ride.
Ed Debevix, the ride. I'm kind of into that idea because there's always this thing of like we have to take a break from the rides and eat. But, like, you could just ride that high. You could just still be on a ride and eating.
I've heard in sexy Oklahoma, they serve you chili in the middle.
In sexy. Oh, that's such a bad idea. That's so not sexy.
What could be sexier?
Than, like, room temperature theater chili that was, like, coming out of a crock pot and backstage in a prop room.
And then they're like, everyone get in the tornado cellar together. Well, thanks, everyone.
Yeah, if you have any ideas for movie-based rides, please give us your full pitch at 1-240-46-NIGHT or send us an email at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com.
Tornado the ride.
Tornado. There should just be a theme park, like a climate change theme park.
I would just go on Rain the Ride. I would, like, move into Rain the Ride. I know there was the Rain Room, and I couldn't get tickets, and I was so sad about it, but then I was like, no, I need to be, like, riding Rain.
I remember the Rain Room.
Yeah. That really
was
wanted to go.
Hot ticket for a
that
while.
That was the first immersive come take an Instagram in this
all
museum.
All the mirror things that followed, I was like, mirrors? Like, give me rain. Yeah. I want, like, water.
It's like the most LA thing. It's, like, let's go to a museum to experience rain.
Exactly.
If they made a museum that just had, like, a hydrant spurting out, I would love
in
it.
A way, your shower actually is the rain room.
Yeah.
So it's like you have the rain room in your bathroom.
Wow. That's a good
point. Food, slow food for thought.
Wow, it's like each room in your home is an installation. Yeah.
You can just Instagram it. Everything's an opportunity. I derailed it, but to finish off our goodbye, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And to follow us on social media, Night Call Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, Night Call Pod on Twitter. That's it for this week.
We'll be back next week.
See you then.
Night Call is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.